Our first scripture lesson comes from Genesis. And as we turn to our Old Testament reading, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5, we hear the call of God to Abram, inviting him to step out in faith on a journey of blessing. So listen for the word of God. God told Abram, "Go from your country, your family, and your father's home to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I'll curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his new nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan, and arrived safe and sound. In our next reading, our New Testament reading, it continues the theme of Abraham's faith and God's promise to bless. This is Galatians 3, verses 5 through 9. So again, listen for the word of God. "So again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Imagine that you get invited to a great party. When you arrive, there's lots of people, there's some decorations, good food, drinks. There's enough for everyone. And while the host is out back on the deck with some guests, two guys in the dining room head for the food table. They pick up some trays of food, the best food really, and they take it off to the den, and then they prevent anyone else from entering the den. The act is the very opposite of a generous host. It's an act of self-interest and scarcity. And when we hear this story, it reflects poorly on those two guys, right? They're being disrespectful to the host, and they're violating the spirit of a party. And it's actually just a little tacky, right? Yet their mindset is familiar. Many present a looking out for number one mindset for a variety of reasons. Selfishness, self-protection, fear, poor role models. Yet a core need is to know the love of God. We say that God loves us. We believe that God loves us. But sometimes some of us get that feeling that God is more like tolerating us, especially if we're not feeling good about ourselves. How would that change if we had an unwavering presupposition of God's love for us? This presupposition of God's love is made greater in that God turned to us with love before we ever did anything. The love of God is simply not based on anything we have done or left undone. We can't earn it. It just is. God loves us as we are, because love is who God is. Trusting in God's love and abundance frees us to generously bless others. And Surprise the World, our new series, invites a particular question. How do we develop regular activities that are missional? God has tasked us with his mission to alert the world to his kingdom, to bring good news to bad situations, to be light amid darkness. This is the mission of the church. So these habits develop some wonderful characteristics: generosity, hospitality, Christ-likeness, and more. A basis of our Christian faith is that what we believe shapes what we do. But the opposite is also true. What we do shapes what we believe. And that's often how children learn. Children who are raised in the church follow along and do what their parents do. The meaning of these activities comes later. Parents take their children to church. They hand them some money to put in the offering plate. They involve them in service projects. How awesome was that? They pray with them at the bedside. And in due time, the faith is passed on. The practice comes first. The belief develops out of it. And in this series, I'm going to be inviting you to do some stuff, trusting that the doing will shape our thinking about God, and specifically about God's love for us and how that overflows to people. Our passage today, for me, is an exciting one. It's found on page 8. Did you notice? So being so very close to the beginning of the Bible, I thought I would start at the beginning, which begins with the words, "In the beginning," and then connect that beginning to the promise of Abram. The Bible begins with two beautiful accounts of creation that showcase our generous and loving Creator, who declares each thing that comes forth good. Creation is an expression of the generous, creative love of God. In Eden, we see attention to fine details, abundant resources, the flourishing of the first human beings. God designed humanity to be the chief stewards of his creation. And the Garden of Eden reflects the generosity of Yahweh, its owner and host. But you know the story. The whole thing goes sideways. That's my first turn in a couple weeks. I'm getting used to it. The humans distrust the benevolence of God, desire what was not offered to them, and break the boundaries that God set for their freedom in the garden. And what follows is this ever-increasing spiral and descent into darkness, with these repeated moments where God's grace breaks in. And from Genesis 3 to 11, it progresses from Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood, building Babel. And these are stories of jealousy, murder, violence, corruption, ambition, arrogance. So by the time we get to Genesis 12, it's a welcome relief. We have God's promise to Abram, which becomes a long-term response to what was lost in the fall. God doesn't give up on Eden. He starts with one family, the family of Abram, and he promises to give them the abundance that he wants for everyone. Genesis 12, 2. "I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and all the people of earth will be blessed through you." Now, this isn't a one-time occurrence. The word "blessed" appears 88 times in Genesis, so it's a key to this book. And blessing may seem like a word that's a little weird. Does anyone feel a little bit weird about that word? Like in the South, they say, "Well, bless your heart," which sounds like a good thing, but really isn't. And Hobby Lobby has a whole line of products, pillows, pictures, t-shirts that say, "Blessed," hashtag blessed. So it's a bit weird. But throughout the Old Testament story, God continually combats a scarcity mindset with generosity and love towards humanity. And even today, blessing is a part of Jewish tradition. Friday night Shabbat, is a shared meal, candlelighting, and blessing for all children present. And I wonder about that. How does blessing children intentionally 52 times a year shape those children? I would venture that it would be significant. When we leap forward into the New Testament, Jesus demonstrates the practice of blessing. He receives children the disciples see as a distraction. It says in Mark 10:16, and he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Notice the proximity. In his arms, touched them, and spoke blessing over them. The Apostle Paul connects Jesus' resurrection to the blessing of Abraham. Farther down in Galatians 3, verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And if we're hanging out in the New Testament, there's even more, many more than I can say today. But Jesus' baptism, God speaks out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, all those first eight things, blessed are the poor, blessed are the mourning, the meek, the merciful. Jesus redefines and embodies blessing. God's party in Eden was spoiled. And now centuries later, the host himself comes to join the spoiled party. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of God's love. It's a love that can turn death into life and scarcity back into abundance. Jesus lives with the conviction that there is enough and that God, our generous host, can be trusted. And he sends us out to do the same. Go. Go and make disciples. The Great Commission, which links back to Abraham. Did you catch the first word of the promise? Verse 1, God told Abram, "Go from your country, your family, your father's home to the land I will show you." Go is a hyperlink. It links God's word to Abram and Jesus' word to his disciples. The first commission, the Great Commission. And I have thoughts about Abram's journey. It has always seemed to me to be this great leap of faith into the unknown. By faith, Abram went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That's how Hebrews puts it. But actually, when you dive in, I learned this just this week, Abram completes what his father started. Because in Genesis 11, Abram, his father, says, "Come on," and the father sends himself, Abram, Sarai, and Lot, 1131b. They set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So more than a new assignment, it was completing the old one, which might be a good word for someone this morning. I'm just saying. It was an aha to me. God directs Abram to continue on to the promised land and gives a promise to him of becoming a nation, being blessed, being known, and being the means for all the other nations to be blessed as well. And so that's a great foundational for our first missional habit, to intentionally and regularly bless others. We're seeking to demonstrate God's goodness by being generous with words, gifts, and acts of service. Continuing the metaphor, I'm taking it pretty far. As humans, we are called to keep the party going and to spread goodness that we see in the host of Eden. And it's a great contrast to where we find ourselves in a world that screams about scarcity and struggle. That's what we see in the world. And God's blessing is available to us to pass along. To bless another person in God's name means to ask for divine favor upon them or to speak our acceptance and approval of them. we honor the presence of God in them. And we remind them that God's love is with them. We can call forth the good that we see in another. A blessing validates who they are and trusts God to grow them even further. It's powerful stuff. We do it in elementary school all the time. And this doesn't even have to be done right, in case you're worried. A few years ago, we wanted to send our son a birthday present. So we were going to send him a cordless drill and a book. And it was an epic failure. The book I sent was a duplicate. He had gotten the same book the day before. The cordless drill Brian picked out never arrived. What started out as an attempt to be a blessing was not a blessing at all. But we kind of got credit anyway. Because all the phone calls of checking if the drill had arrived today, it served to communicate we care. And that's the goodness of blessing. Even an imperfect attempt still registers as love. We practice blessing in a variety of ways, knowing that blessing at its root is an act of love. And love best understood is action. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrong. So working definition of bless would be anything that relieves another's burden, helps someone breathe a little more easily, or lifts or alleviates someone's stress. Small or large, it doesn't matter. Blessing offers a reminder that the person is seen and cared for and loved, and so that's why we do it. And then there's this ricochet effect. How great is the idea that our acts of kindness could ricochet around this congregation? By love and joy and help, we're bouncing back and forth, one by one, making all of us stronger. And let me say, as I'm saying this, this is not new. It happens here all the time. People in this church hear of a need and they set out to find a way to meet that need. I have observed this over and over. You send out cards in the mail, offering to pray, dropping off food, painting a wall, stopping to look each other in the eye and to listen well. These are characteristics that I see here at First Presbyterian. This is not new. Practicing it intentionally, individually, may be new for some of you. Your challenge this week, were you to accept it, is to intentionally bless two people, one within this congregation and one not in this congregation. Words of encouragement, thoughtful gifts, acts of service, are all great ways to bless someone. Keep it simple. A generous tip, offering to run an errand, encouraging a young person. This missional habit cultivates a spirit of generosity in us that mirrors the character of God and alerts others to the goodness of God. Two people, one inside the congregation, one outside. Who has God put in your life to bless? Family member, neighbor, coworker, retail clerks, servers, church friends, church foes, even strangers. Give it some thought. Surprise the world with a note, a text, a call. Your efforts convey vibrant faith and tangible love. God will bless those who you bless. His love and power are dependable. He is a generous host, worthy of our trust. Remember that party where the trays of food ended up in the den? Remember those two guys? This is the opposite of that. Jesus followers have the opportunity and responsibility to live like the real party has begun. One of the most important ways that we can experience the abundance of God's creation is sharing with others and believing that there is enough. This is the purest expression of our trust that God is a generous host. So let us be blessed by the loving kindness of God and then be bold enough to give it away. Because like Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing. Please pray with me. O God of Abraham, you do just what you say. You are a promise keeper. And so we thank you for the blessings in our life. We thank you for your love. I pray that those who doubt, those who feel a certain way, can receive your love exactly as we are. And Lord, I pray that you would give us creativity, an idea, a spark of imagination. Lord, send to our mind a person that you would have us bless. What face would you have us speak words of love? What kindness, what act of service, what item could we bring? And so, Lord, I pray that something exciting would happen this week, that we would return with stories of what it was to engage with you as the generous host, helping us to move into the world in a surprising way. Amen.